Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Good morning. My name is Mark, and I have the privilege of being the lead pastor here. And I don't know if anyone else was on the verge of tears when Jill was up here sharing her story, but I was in the back like, get it together, Mark, get it together. You've got to be on the stage in a few seconds. So thank you, Jill, for sharing your story. We do want to talk about longings today and longings that God puts inside of us. Our vision as a church is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. And we have existed for a little over 3 years. We've seen that happen in many different ways. A few years ago, we started meeting in a classroom. There were 15 of us, and we saw people find their way back to God in that setting. A few years after that, we were meeting at a dance studio on 270, and we saw married people, single people find their way back to God. And in different ways, we've seen that happen even as we've been meeting here at the Y. For some people, that's a first-time decision, a decision to say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to find my way back home. For others, it's just a small thought that says, you know what, I'm going to begin to address these longings in my heart, these longings in my life. I'm going to think about what God is doing and what he means to me. And there's been a lot of different moments in the history of our church that we've celebrated a story like Jill's. There have been a lot of different times that we've had someone come up here and share their story, and we love to highlight stories, but I want you to think about one specific story today. I want you to think about your own story, and I want you to think about, has there been a moment that I've said, God, I'm longing for more. There's a longing in my heart. There's a longing in my life. And there's got to be more. I think most of us, if we're being honest, have had that thought in some way where we've thought there's got to be more to this. There's got to be more to the things I'm seeing. And that longing for there's got to be more is universal. We see it in the movies we watch. We see it in the television shows that we binge watch on Netflix. We see it in the songs we listen to. And so I want to just help us realize that this morning. And so I've queued up some songs that I'm hoping are representative of the generations, of the demographics in the room, songs that everybody will know. But these are songs that basically just lay out the fact that there are longings all around us. So let's go ahead. You guys can play the first one. Feel free to sing along if this is one of your jams that you like to sing in the car. Don't hold back, all right? You know the words, so I'm hoping this proves that longing is all around us in art. I saw some people singing that. I told you could sing along, but you were like afraid to do it. You're like, am I really allowed to sing along? You are, I promise. All right, but this you two just saying, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You guys can cue up the next one here. These are songs, again, that are talking about longing. Sometimes we just think they're talking about us when we broke up with someone in college, and that's the memory we have this song frozen to. But they're talking about longing. So go ahead and play the next one, guys. Let's hear what it is. All right, I'll stop you there. Did you guys know that song is like 8 minutes long? I was queuing that up this week looking for that spot, and it took a lot longer than I thought it would. It like starts with a choir, and I'm like, what is going on? Who wrote this song? But it's a classic, so I'll keep my mouth shut. So let's play the next one here again, another song about longing. All right, that's a shout out to any 1980s hillbillies that might be in the room. I just wanted to play that one for you. And then I realized as I was randomly scrolling through songs, picking those, I was like, man, I'm going to look like I'm not very cool and modern. So I queued this next song up just so you guys would think that I'm slightly cooler. I think it's about longing. I'll tell you a conversation I had here in a second. So we'll play this next song. You feel the suspense building?
Thank you.
All right, well, we better stop that one. I knew if we stopped it before we got to the chorus, you would be like on the verge of just being mad all day. The reason I played that one, I had a conversation with my aunt over Christmas. She's like, you know what song I love on the radio right now? And like, she's like, I love that I Can't Feel My Face song. And I was like, oh, the one that's a love song to cocaine? And she was like, what? You know? And I was like, yeah, that song's about cocaine. And she was like, no, I thought it was a girl. And I'm like, what girl makes your face go numb? So we were talking about it. But obviously, all of those songs have a similar theme. There's a theme there that people are longing for something. People are asking, what's next? Or what else is God trying to do in my life? They're saying that there's a longing for more. And I think maybe you knew one or two of those songs. Maybe you're cool and weird enough that you knew all four like me. But definitely you can see a theme there that there's a longing for purpose when we look at life and when we look at the world. People are longing for purpose. And I think that we can see that in one way. Most of us have something that we wanted to be when we grew up, right? You didn't have any bills to pay. You didn't have any reason to want to be something, but you wanted to be this thing, this job when you grew up. For me, I wanted to be in the NBA. That was a terrible dream that lasted like an hour, but maybe you wanted to be like a teacher or a fireman or something. Why did you want to be something? Like I said, you didn't have to pay bills. You didn't have any reason. No one was saying, go get a job, you lazy five-year-old. And yet you wanted to be something. You wanted to be more. It's because we have a longing in us for purpose. We long to have a purpose. We also have a longing for meaning. We want to know, why am I here? Why does this all exist? Why am I feeling the way that I'm feeling? Why am I in this world right now? Who am I? We want to find out, what is our purpose and what is our meaning? And you just heard that that story read that is called the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost son. But it's a story that kind of gets at this same search. What is my purpose? What is my meaning? Why do I have these longings? What's out there in life? There's got to be more. And what is that thing? And so I want to invite you to turn to that story again. We want to read that together. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. It's in Luke 15. If not, there's one under your seat or behind your seat or next to your seat, or maybe you're really cool and have one on your phone, but you can turn there. It's page 798 if you've got one of the Bibles that's under your seat. And if you don't have a copy of the Bible, if you don't have a copy of God's Word, we would love for you to take that Bible that you're holding home with you today. We love God's Word. We know that God gave that to us as His gift, and we would love for you to be able to have that to read throughout the week and study. So feel free to take that Bible home. I promise no one will stop you at the door, and no alarms will go off if you walk out. That is our gift to you, that Bible. Let me read Luke 15, verses 11 to 16. This is the parable of the lost son. You've already heard it, but we want to just pull a few things from here as we land the plane today. So Luke 15, 11 to 16, page 798, says this. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About that time, his money ran out. A great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Now, we've talked about this story this morning. We've alluded to this story. Maybe some of you know this story. You've read this story. You've heard this story. We're going to be looking at sections of this story in this series for the whole month. But this section right here, I want to just bring out something that maybe you know, maybe you don't know. But the fact that this guy went to his dad and said, hey, I need my inheritance. I need my money. You know that stuff I was going to get in like 50, 80 years when you die? I'm going to kind of need that right now. So I need you to just find a way to do that and give me a check. That sounds kind of weird, or maybe we're thinking that's a story, but what you don't know about the culture that Jesus told the story in is that would have been basically the most offensive thing that a son could do. It would be like if you've grown up in Columbus and all of a sudden your son's like, Dad, I love Michigan, right? Michigan is in my heart and I love them. I'm going to cheer for Big Blue. And as a dad, you'd just be like, what did I do? How did I fail? What went wrong here, right? That's what you would think. Most of you, some of you are Michigan fans and you're like, why do I come to this church? But most of you that are Ohio State fans, that's like the worst thing that could happen, right? You'd feel like a failure as a dad. And so this dad was probably going through a similar thing. He's looking at this situation and thinking, what did I do that my son wants his money now? What did I do that he's leaving? And all of those songs we talked about, looking for love in all the wrong places, and maybe I can't feel my face as he got toward that wild living in that story, right? All of those things were soundtracks to his life, and all of those things were basically talking about the longing that he felt because this son was saying, whatever I'm entitled to, whatever this life and this family is going to be about, this is not what I want. I want what's over there. And so I'm going to take my money and I'm going to take my belongings and I'm going to take my inheritance and I'm going to go to the big city and I'm going to look for what I'm hoping to find. I'm going to look for the things that my soul wants and that my heart longs for. And so these passages tell us that this guy left and he went, right? It says he left and went. It says he set off for a distant country. And it tells us that he engaged in wild living. Now, we don't know what that is, but some of us might know what that is. We just won't tell our kids someday that we know what that is, right? Because most of us probably had a phase where we were in college or maybe high school or maybe after college where we did some things that maybe we look back on and we're like, that wasn't the wisest thing in the world. I wasn't the most proud of that moment in my life, but I'm assuming that this guy was doing binge drinking and doing crazy stuff and that there were lots and lots of women involved in this, and he was living a life that he probably didn't want to write home and tell his mom and dad about, and he lived great. He lived how he wanted to, and all of his money ran out. And then a famine struck this land, and he realized that all of these things that he'd been chasing and running after and going for, these things that were so awesome and so exciting, and these things that made his face go numb, right? These things that were so great let him down, and they ran out, and they weren't there anymore. And all of the things that he was chasing, all the things that he thought would make him happy, didn't make him happy at all. He got them. He found them. They were in his life. And he was still empty and miserable and lonely. And he was still left asking all of the same questions that he was probably asking in the beginning. What's going on here? Who am I? Why am I so empty and broken and lonely? Why didn't this turn out like I thought it would? How did I end up feeling like this? How did I end up in this place? And the reason that we're doing this series is because I'm sure that those questions sound familiar. I'm sure that they're similar to questions that you and I have asked at different points in our lives. We like to pretend that we're happy. We like to pretend that a lot of the things that we do fulfill us. We like to pretend that we're going in the right direction and we're doing the things we want to, but sometimes, often, eventually, all the time, we get to the end of ourselves and we get to the end of the things that we've been chasing and the longings that we've had. And we find out that parties that we thought would make us so happy don't make us happy. And drinks that we thought would make us so happy don't make us happy. And drugs that we thought would make us so happy don't make us happy. And relationships and careers and possessions and all of the things that we chase, all of the status that we chase, all of the image that we chase, things don't complete us. They don't answer the longings that exist in our heart. And this series that we're doing, Finding Your Way Back to God, it is the vision of our church. It's a vision that we believe in, a vision that we try to be about every day and even every week as we gather together. We believe that whether someone has made a decision to trust Jesus yet, or whether for the first time they're saying, what's this longing in my heart? What's this about? How was I created for more? And how does God play into that? We think that finding your way back to God is a lifelong adventure that starts with a first-time decision, but also starts with small decisions and continues with small decisions along the way. There's a 17th century mathematician named Blaise Pascal, and anyone that knows me knows that I'm not an expert on math. I was talking to my friend Sarah. She's a math major. She goes here, and I call her a mathlete. She's like, are you really going to tell that story this week? And I was like, yeah. She was like dumbfounded that I could even say the word math in front of people. So this is more of a history story. But this guy, Pascal, maybe you've heard of him. Maybe you've heard. He's kind of famous. I remembered him. But he grew up knowing about God. But he wasn't following God. And then this isn't something that you find in math textbooks all the time, but in this random experience, as he was middle-aged, in the middle of the night, he felt that he came to know God and came to see God, and he had a change of heart, and God had his attention. And in that moment, in that experience, Pascal said, I want to help people find their way back to God. I want my life and my talent and my career and my influence and everything about me to be pointed toward God, to glorify God, and I want to help people find their way back to God. And so he had this this wager that kind of became his thing, this wager that he would talk to people about. He would dare people to step into a belief about God. And he would say, I dare you to see if stepping into a belief with God doesn't change your life. He would basically ask people to make a bet that God is real. He would say, yeah, this is a gamble, but you have everything to gain and really nothing to lose, because often he was talking to people who would realize that the things they had pursued, the things around them, the things in their life, the things they had filled their life with were empty and lacked purpose. And so as we begin this series, as we talk about finding our way back to God, for some of us, this is something we're looking at for the first time. For some of us, we've grown up in the church and we're wondering, what does it look like for me to continue to find my way back to God? Often, we take our eyes off God. We take our eyes off of God, and we don't pursue God. And so I want to ask you to do something over the next 30 days as we're in this series, Finding Your Way Back to God. I want to ask you to take a risk and pray to God. As Pascal used to dare people, I want you to look at a belief with God and take that as a dare. I want you to ask, Lord, if I'm willing to act as if you believe, to talk to you as if you believe, to pray to you as if you believe, to read your word as if you believe, will you show up and will you show me that that's possible? Will you show me that that's true? Will you show me that you're real? So here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to open yourself up to finding God in a deeper way, in a more life-changing way. I want to ask you to pray as if God is real every single day. Pascal would have people say, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. There are many people in the room, many stories in the room, and our stories probably look like that son. We've pursued a lot of things. We've run after a lot of things. We've come to the end of a lot of things, and we've realized that we still don't know who we are. We still don't know where our life is going, and we still don't know what the meaning of life is. And I want to suggest to you that a relationship with God is the meaning to life. And if it takes a bet or a dare from me or from someone that you know, someone that you're in a relationship with, I think that that's a bet or a dare that you should answer. I dare you to look to God, to reach out to God and say, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. We're going to continue to look at this story, but it's in the moments at the end of this story that the son is looking home to his father, wondering, is this going to work? Can I go home to this person? I've reached the end of me. I've exhausted all of my options. And he's just hoping, wishing, longing. And his father extends himself to him and says, I'm here for you. I love you. I'm real. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to meet your needs. This story is a story that Jesus told to represent the imagery of how our Father, God the Father, feels about us. No matter how far we run, no matter how much we turn away from him, no matter where else we look, no matter where else we go, no matter how else we try to find ourselves in other things, God is waiting for us, and God loves us, and God wants to know us, and God wants to have a relationship with us. And that's what this series, Finding Your Way Back to God, is about. And so I want to extend an offer to you. It's an offer that we'll put up on all of our social media this week. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll put it on Twitter. But we're gonna extend an offer that you can sign up for a series of emails. These are just emails that we're going to send out every day that in a small way will get you to pause and to think about God, to look into his word, to think, and to pray. Maybe you've never stopped and done that. Maybe this will be the first time. Maybe you're accepting that bet and saying, Lord, if you're real, show yourself to me. Prove yourself to me. Show me something that will answer this longing in my heart. Maybe you've been a believer and you've grown up in church. And whether you've known it or not, there have been ways that you've started to look away from God. You've started to look to other longings and answer other longings. And so for all of us, whether it's a first-time decision to answer those longings or whether it's the 400th time you've said, I've got some longings that I want God to answer, this is going to be something that we want to do as a church and something that we believe will have purpose. Because out of our longing, when we look to God, he meets us and he satisfies those longings. And we find love and we find belonging. We find relationship in him. So you probably thought today that you were going to come here and we were going to say like, welcome church, be healed, or something that you've seen on TV, right? And actually what we're saying is that we want to ask you to take a dare, to take a bet, to sign up for those emails and to say, God, I don't know what you want to teach me. I don't know what you're going to do with where my heart is at right now, but I want you to prove yourself and show yourself to me again and again and again. Show me that you're faithful. Show me that you're real. Show me that you love me. Answer the longings in my heart. We're going to continue to talk about that all of this month, but I hope that you'll answer that bet, answer that dare this morning, and sign up for those emails. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the example of the lost son, prodigal son. Lord, I know that my story parallels his, and I'm sure that everyone in the room can see themselves in that story in some way. And so, God, wherever we're at today, Lord, I pray that we will recognize that we have longings in our heart. Lord, longings to be important, longings to be significant, longings to be successful, longings to be loved. Lord, those longings are healthy and they're okay, and you put them there. But they're meant to be satisfied in you. They're meant to be completed in you. And so, God, I pray that we will be a group of people, that we will be a church, that we'll be individuals that are looking to you to satisfy our longings, that are looking to you to show us our purpose, to show us love, and to show us just where you want us to be. God, I pray if there's anyone in the room that for the first time is looking at the longing in their heart and wondering if you can satisfy that, God, I pray that they'll be bold. I pray that this will be a month that they'll pray to you, that they'll talk to you, that they'll look to your word. They'll say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. Lord, for anyone that's been a believer for a while, Lord, we know that we go through up and downs. And so, Lord, I pray that you will show yourself to be real to all of us in unique and creative and supernatural ways this month, Lord. We pray that you will grow us, that we can find our way back to you. We can give small sections and pieces of our lives back to you and be found in you and be excited about what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing in our hearts. So, God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the chance to be together. Lord, I thank you for the way that you answer our prayer, the way that you answer our longing, and the way that you will answer this bet and this dare and show yourself to be real. Lord, it's in your name.